And I believe, it's just my personal belief, that John chapter 3 is probably one of the most important chapters in the entire Bible. And of course, it's talking about what Jesus came to do, and the very core of it. And I think it's good for us to understand that Jesus didn't come to clean us up or to make us good people. He came to make us new people. And because, you know, what we were in the world, it just cannot be fixed. It cannot be fixed. It's too bad. It's too corrupt. There's only one thing that really helps, and that is to die to yourself and be born again into a new creation. That's the only solution there is. And quite frankly, that's the only thing that God is interested in. He's not interested in good people. And he's not interested in anything else, but he's looking at a new creation that came through that new birth. So let's begin at verse 1, John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Cannot see the kingdom of God. Just further down, Jesus says, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. But you know, when you look at the world, you talk about the kingdom of God, they cannot see it. They cannot see it. It's a foreign concept. It's what Paul says, you know, they look at God's wisdom as foolishness. And they don't understand these things because it's foolishness to them. And so seeing the kingdom really depends already on being born again. Verse 4, Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." And so I believe that is one of the key verses in the Bible. Unless one is born again. You know, I know there's a lot of, I don't know if you're into that stuff. There's a lot of discussion about water. You know, it's just that. But when you look at what the Bible says, what Jesus says about the Word of God, Jesus said, "You're already clean by the word that I spoke to you." And so I believe the washing of water is the word of God. And then you're born again by the Spirit of God. And these two always work together. You cannot, you have to hear the gospel to respond to it, and then the Holy Spirit will do what he wants to do. Verse 6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Now, I have seen in some of the theology books that I read and so on, that they say when you read through Genesis, there are two creation accounts, Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. And really, there is just one. Because in Genesis 1, we see God creating everything, including man, male and female, mind you. And in Genesis 1, verse 26, 27, thereabouts. And because God is spirit, Jesus told us that in John chapter 4, God is spirit. So when we were made into his image, created in his image, we were spirit beings, right? God doesn't have a body like we have. We're a spirit being. God's a spirit being. And so we were created in his image. We were spirit beings. Adam and Eve existed both, but they were spirit beings. And then in chapter 2, God came and he gave them bodies. It's a beautiful story, and there's a lot of shadows there that points to the future, and I will not go into that this morning or this afternoon. But we are spirit beings. Now, God told Adam, he says, there's one tree in the garden that you cannot eat of. You stay away from that tree, don't touch it. And, of course, we all know what happened. You know, where you went, Eve went, and then he went too, and ate of it. And then God said, if you eat of that tree, you'll die. But they didn't die physically. They died spiritually. They were spiritually dead. That moment they disobeyed God, they were spiritually dead. And it's interesting when you read there in Genesis chapter 6, about the flood that God was planning to bring, where it says, man is flesh. At that point, it was just flesh. And the spirit was dead. That's the problem. And that's the problem with every single one of us, that when we were born of Adam's kind. Adam and Eve were the forebears of everybody that was ever born into the world, everyone. But they were dead, spiritually dead. And so kind produces kind. Spiritually dead person produces spiritually dead offspring. And that's the problem. We were born the wrong kind. Not so much you did this or you did that and that kind of stuff. Well, that's what you do when you're spiritually dead. But we were born the wrong kind. And that had to be dealt with. So we had to be born again. And be born again so that we could be made alive spiritually. And that's what happened here. And so the Holy Spirit is very active in that process, in rebirthing us. And so we become new creations. And there's this beautiful verse in 2 Corinthians 5:17, which every Christian really ought to know. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. The old nature of death passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And that's our life. We became new creations. And actually, from that moment on, really, what we need to spend our time on is figure out what has become new. What's the new that God has added to our lives? So that we can attach our faith to it and start to live up to it. Jesus is telling Nicodemus all of this. And verse 6 says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. And that's the big message that has to go out into the world. You must be born again. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. You know, he just keep on saying it over and over again. I think Jesus is trying to get something through to Nicodemus. Because Nicodemus was a spiritual leader. He was one of the leaders, religious leaders of the day. He was supposed to know these things. Because you read about it, there are some things in the Old Testament that point to this new birth. There's enough there to figure out something's going to happen when Jesus comes. But of course, they missed the point, and they never got into it. Verse 8. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. That's very interesting. Because we're supposed to be led by the Holy Spirit. And it's still actually a bit of a foreign concept among us Christians, is what it is to be led by the Holy Spirit. Because people who dare to be led by the Holy Spirit live very extraordinary lives. It's nothing like what we're used to. If you're led by the Holy Spirit, you never know what's going to happen in your day. You have no clue what's going to happen. because the Holy Spirit is going to lead you and to do some things that you would never do as a natural person. He sees possibilities. He knows what God can do. He knows what God wants to do. And he is eager. He's very zealous to activate us to do the work of God. But you know, we are creatures of habit. We have our habits and our routines, and we are led by our routines and our habits. We're not led by the Holy Spirit most of the time. And then when the Holy Spirit comes to tell you something, I guess most of the time we think, well, that's too far out. That cannot be God. That's a crazy idea. And then we just let it go. And so we just go back to living ordinary life. That was never what God intended for us. You know, when you read the book of Acts, you see all those adventures that those people had. That never passed away, because the Holy Spirit's still here. He's still active. He still wants to use us. Nothing changed. We just need to be more sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. When we think about things, that's when we decide not to do it. When we start thinking about it, we say, no, I don't think it's a good idea. I don't think it's possible. I don't think it will work out. So, well, let's not do that. And then we go back to a natural way of life. Well, God had this big adventure for us that he wants us to live, see amazing things, and just understand the greatness of God and the power of God. And, you know, I've been on many missionary trips, and that's usually where I saw God doing some amazing things. And when we were in the church, I had to go on a missionary trip every now and then just to keep my sanity. Because you get so bogged down in routines and just normal human stuff that it's really very, very hard. When you know what God can do and what he wants to do. And so I've seen some amazing things for which I'm very grateful. But of course, those days are not over. Holy Spirit's still here, and he still wants to use every one of us. All we need to do is be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit and be quick to act. Remember when we read there in the book of Acts where Peter was sitting on a roof meditating. He's waiting for people downstairs to prepare his lunch. And the Holy Spirit showed him something. You know, that sheet that came down from heaven with all those animals. And he said to him, kill and eat. And Peter said, no, we don't eat unclean animals. We don't eat unclean animals. And it happened three times. And then the Holy Spirit said to him, there are people downstairs waiting for you. Go with them. Because he would not have gone. Because the Holy Spirit sent him to the house of Cornelius, who was a Gentile. And Jews did not go into the homes of Gentiles. Their homes were unclean to them. And the Holy Spirit said, go. You see, that's what happens when, and he went. Because the Holy Spirit had to press it on him three times. Otherwise, he would never have gone. And look what happened there in the house of Cornelius. Just amazing things that God did that day. Simply because Peter was willing not to go by his, what shall we call it? He lived by the law, right? His religious perceptions and beliefs and things, but instead by the leading of the Holy Spirit. And that we can say Peter was like the wind. He didn't know. And see, that's what tradition does. It tells you where you're coming from. It tells you where you're going. There you are. Your whole life summed up in your tradition. God says, I have something much better for you, a lot more exciting. Why didn't you go with that? We were smuggling Christian books into China once. I was with some Chinese people in Hong Kong. And we went to Shenzhen, which is right on the border. And on the train station is customs. So we had to go through customs, and we had this bad book of Christian books with us. And they were putting them through an X-ray machine. All the bags had to go through an X-ray machine. And I knew, and this is it, we're going to be in trouble here today. This whole bunch of us, and all these books, hundreds of books. Just when he put our stuff on that conveyor belt, a tourist on the other side started taking pictures, and the guard that was there, that was supposed to watch the X-rays, got distracted. And he just went off on that woman. In the meantime, our bags passed through. We got on the other side and left. And we have such stories to tell. You know, that's what God does. Just amazing things. You know, I printed a book. I printed several books in China. We sent it by email, filed by email, and then we had a printer in China who printed those books. So we didn't have to smuggle them in. We had them printed in China. But this one book had my picture on it. And there's no way that I could escape. And there's my face and there's the picture. And I had a suitcase full of them. There were three of us, and all three of us had suitcases. There was thousands of books in suitcases.
All white people were descended from the Chinese.
And so when I checked in, they said, there's something in your suitcase that I need to see. And they took me to a back room. And I had a battery of my camera in my suitcase, and that's what they saw. And so when you open the suitcase, there's all those books with my picture on. He never paid any attention. It's illegal to do that, of course. He just said, if you know where the battery, just take it out and take it with you on board. So I took the battery, closed the suitcase, and went on. You know, it's just amazing what God can do if you're willing to take that risk. What God can do. It's the faith walk. You trust God. You trust God. So let's move on. I like this verse. It's one of my favorite verses. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. What an exciting life that is. Verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel, and you don't know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know, and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. It's interesting to note the plural there. Jesus doesn't say, I speak what I know. He says, we speak what we know, because we know God. He's a triune God. Verse 12. If I've told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Well, this is a reference to the time when there were those snakes, venomous snakes, and Moses had to make that pole and lift it up, and people, when they looked on it, they would be healed of the snake bites. And so that's what lifting up means. So I see some people, and there were some songs based on, worship songs based on, we lift Jesus up. Well, what he meant was to be lifted up on a cross. Everybody who looks on him and lifted up on the cross would be healed of this incurable disease of sin and be born again. Verse 16, and yes, the verse that everybody knows, even people that don't believe in God, know this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So that's that, with that life that we lost in Adam is coming back. It's by faith in Christ that life comes back to us. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. See, that's the thing. He who does not believe is condemned already. He's spiritually dead, he's condemned, and there's no way out of it unless you put your trust in Christ. So, you know, people say, well, God, you know, I've been a good person, all of that. One time we did a survey in Belgium, we went from home to home, and asked people, why would God allow you into heaven if you die? Why would he do that? It was interesting to hear what the people said. I remember one person said, well, I'm good to my grandchildren. That's the reason why you'll be allowed to heaven? No, not really. Others also always said, I was always a good person. And, that's why. No, that's not why. There's only one reason. Because until you put your trust in God, you put your trust in Christ for salvation, there's a condemnation on you, resting on you. And the wrath of God will be released on you. That's all there is. It's either or. You put your trust in him, and there's no such thing as, well, there are other ways to God. There are other entities that you could trust that will bring you salvation. That's not what Jesus said. He's the one. He's the only one who laid down his life for us. Nobody else did. It's only Jesus. He's the sacrificial lamb of God. His blood was shed as a sacrifice, not to cover our sins, but to take it away. Verse 18, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness more rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Isn't that true? That when you don't do something that you know you're not supposed to do, you don't do it where everybody can see you. Right? You do it where nobody sees you. I guess there's a lot we could say about that in the world that we live in today, but okay. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. So, this whole thing about being born again and becoming a new creation is kind of the central message of the gospel. That's what it's all about. That's the very reason why Jesus came. Is for that to happen. Now, there are other good things that are part of the gospel. You know, we see Jesus healed many people. He cast out demons out of many people, and he taught people the ways of God, and all of that are part of the gospel. But the very core of that message is to turn us into new creation beings, to make us new people. There comes a point in your life where you realize you must be born again. You have to make it a personal decision that you must be born again. You know, I grew up in a church. I grew up in a family of pastors, lots of pastors in our family, and uncles, and my father, and grandfathers, and lots and lots of pastors. But that doesn't save me and cannot save me. There was a day when I was confronted, even though I grew up in a church and spent most of my life in church, there was a day when I was confronted by the Holy Spirit to make a decision. That is the day that I was born again. I sat through thousands of sermons and church services, thousands. We went to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday evening, every Wednesday evening, Every Friday evening was youth service. We were always there. We were always there. That did not save me. You cannot become born again by attending church, or it doesn't matter how many times you do it. There comes a moment where you may need to make a personal decision that I'm laying down this old life that's going nowhere. And I need to be born again. I need to become a new person with a new goal and a new life. And then, thank God, the old things passed away. There's no need, after you become born again, to ever look back on your past and be reminded of what you did. Because whatever you did belongs to a dead person, right? Because you died to yourself. It's a dead person. You're a dead, that's the person that died. It might be a good thing, like Paul, his name was Saul. When he became born again, he changed his name, became Paul. He just a completely new thing, you know. Yeah, that is a moment that comes for every single one of us, that we need to make that decision, that I need to become a new creation. I need to receive a new life. I need to be born again by the Holy Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to come inside of me and live through me and do God's will through me and become a disciple, which is a student of Jesus. Follow in his footsteps, learn from him, and learn to live a new life that's totally different from the one I lived up to that point. It's totally, vastly different. There's no comparison there. I remember that when I was born again, that God took away some things from my life just like that. I didn't have to struggle. I didn't have to lay them down. They just disappeared. But there were other things that I had to work on, and God had to work on. That took a long time to grow away from. It's just part of the new life. That there are some things that are missing that you realize, because the Bible tells you this is the fruit of the new life in Christ. And you list them, and you look at them, and you say, well, some of those are missing. I need to have them. You start working on them, and working, and it takes a while. It's a process that you go through, until it disappears from your life. Thank God for that. That we grow away, as we grow in Christ, we grow away from those things, and we grow in newness of life, and we begin to see more and more of God in our lives and through our lives. Now, everybody has some of that. I know some people struggle for years and years with issues that bother them, that they know are not of God. And as long as you hold on to them, that you know is wrong, you're going to have them. You need to become an enemy and say, well, I don't want this. Even if you keep on doing them, you start hating that sin that's in your life. You know, even Paul had problems. At one point, Paul said, who shall deliver me of... I'm such a wretched man. Who shall deliver me of this body of sin? Look at Paul and his life. You think, Paul, you're struggling with issues? Where do I fit in? You know? Well, yes, thank God, our bodies are not born again. Our bodies are not, they cannot be born again. There's no hope for our body. This body that you're sitting in right now will not go to heaven. I always tell people, don't spend too much time on it. It's not going anywhere with God. It's just the house that we live in. So, the new birth, I don't want to go further than this today. I just want us to highlight and talk about this, that new birth experience that is there for every single one. There's always that invitation. As long as there is opportunity, as long as that door is open, that window is open, we need to take advantage of that and become new creations in Christ. And become born again, and begin to become the person that God had in mind for you to be one day. You can only do it through him and with him. And so the new birth, so one of the most exciting things in the entire Bible. You know, even David, I believe it's in Psalm 51, he prayed, he said, create in me a clean heart, O God. Don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. But in his time, it was not possible to have a new heart. That could only come through Christ. But the yearning was there. The longing was there to be reconciled with God, to be one with him. And when Jesus came, that became possible. Create in me a clean heart, O God. I think it's just a new right spirit within me, something like that. That is possible in Christ. And it is possible to live that life that pleases God and that has a reward, eternal life. You know, eternal life doesn't begin when you die. Eternal life begins the moment you're born again. That's when eternal life begins, is that moment. You never die. And that's the promise that we have in Christ. And that is something to pursue and to share with those all around us, because that's the only thing that can help them to enter into heaven with God. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for a day when Nicodemus came to Jesus with a very interesting question and learn some things that we still learn from today. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who came to do this miracle inside of us. Help us to lay down and die to our old sinful lives and step into newness of life with his strength and his power and enable us to become new creation beings in Christ. We pray that there will be a thirst and a hunger inside of us to find out what the new things are that you've added to our lives, that we may pursue it, and go after it, embrace it, and mature in our walk with you as children of God. Father, I pray for every one of us, especially in this world that we live in today, where we see darkness falling so fast. So much evil is being introduced, even to small children. The word says, if our minds are stayed on you, we will have perfect peace. That we will not be moved by what we see and by what we hear in this world, but only by what we learn from you. And have your eyes fixed on you. Pray for every one of us. Pray for everyone that listens to this. That your grace will be our portion. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.